are back. Welcome once again to another episode of Mike, and Oscar. I don't have like a pre-prepared song to go at the beginning of this right now. See You in September, I thought was very clever. The Brock Lesnar theme song, I thought was very clever.
In and a now dad joke to, sort of way, yes.
Yeah, I have to go back and trying to retrofit something to act, so we'll see what we say. But this is Mike, and Oscar. We're doing another Oscar trailers preview, review, getting you ready for the Oscar
number
season.
Number 3.
Yeah, this is our third one that we've taken a dive in, so we're going to revisit some old movies. And basically every movie we think should now be covered, we think.
It's an Oscar mural. I like to say Oscar like ox car
right.
Most of the time.
Uh-huh.
Like the ox car bow incident. Is that a movie? I think it was. Anyway, we have Peter Fonda, right?
Yeah, you know, keep going.
Peter Fonda's the son. It's Jane Fonda's grandfather.
That's also Mike, for those of you listening, by the way. I'm your co-host, Mike Wong. But do you have a point here? Or?
And we're back, and Ben is back. So I'll move into a segue there. Ben is back is the new trailer that dropped this morning.
Yeah, it just came out today. We're recording this on Friday, August 24th. It was a teaser for Ben is Back. We're going to take these movies, as we usually do in these Oscar preview reviews. I don't know what we're calling these, but one by one, we're going to start with the newest one here. Ben is Back. Go ahead, Mike.
Julia Roberts and daughters drive up to their home, I guess, presumably. Lucas Hedges is waiting there. Daughter from Three Billboards is in the car. Lucas Hedges was also in Three Billboards, by the way. Doesn't want Mama Julia to get out, but she refuses to listen to her daughter. She gets out. She puts Lucas Hedges' head in her hands. They hug. They kiss.
Here. Stay for as long as you can. You gotta cherish it.
The opposite of that tone, but guessing he's her son? I'm guessing he's an addict
we're presuming
maybe a serial
a lot of things
murderer.
Here because they could also be just going to rob the same house, and they happen to see him trying to rob the same house.
Yeah, if he's a serial murderer, then they're all enablers and accomplices. if they're all robbing the same house same way there, I think...
I mean, that's the point, right? This is the teaser. We don't really know what's going on other than it's a kind of a reunion type deal between
Julia Roberts may just have like amnesia or dementia, and she just does that to everybody who's on her porch, like mailmen. This could be like Still Alice too. We don't know.
Oh God, imagine. IMDb summary: follows Ben is Back follows the charming yet troubled Ben Burns, played by Lucas Hedges, who returns home to his unsuspecting family one fateful Christmas Eve. Ben's wary mother, Holly Burns, Julia Roberts, welcomes her beloved son's return, but soon learns he is still very much in harm's way. During the 24 hours that may change their lives forever, Holly must do everything in their power to avoid the family's downfall.
He went away to Hollywood and wanted to become a screenwriter, and all the while has forced his family to read all of his unsellable scripts.
And he only got as far as podcasting about the movies.
Right, so the daughter is like, I can't read another one of those scripts. They're just schlock.
It's funny, too, how we keep talking about the same themes coming up over and over again. This is another one of those parental-child relationships where the kid is in trouble. Lucas Hedges plays one of those parental-child strains with Russell Crowe already in another movie coming out that getting Oscar consideration. We have the Steve Carell one. The name is escaping me right now.
Welcome to Marwin. Oh, Beautiful Boy.
Beautiful Boy. Yep. Welcome to Marwin. Talking about father-child relationship.
This could be about anything. It could be close to Welcome to Marwin. Point. We don't fair know. Point. There fair could point. Be puppets inside and miniatures. We don't know. But, you know, going down that crazy rabbit hole again, this could be just a prequel to Three Billboards. You know, it's the two kids from, you know, Mildred Hayes' home there, and Julia Roberts often plays a stepmom. Mm-hmm. So I'd look forward to Frances McDormand giving her hell for 2 hours.
I saw you pitch this on Twitter earlier today.
That people bought it. They liked it.
So that's Ben is Back. Again, just a teaser trailer. We'll move on to the first look at a bona fide Oscar contender as far as all of us are concerned. If Beale Street Can Talk, it's the latest from Barry Jenkins. It's a very cinematic trailer, a lot of tension rising, a lot of high anxiety-inducing score settling, not so much with the dialogue. It kind of reminded me of The Wire a little bit in that it doesn't seem to be focused on any one character. It's more the city and the surroundings and the place you are in life seem to be the focus. I know they're doing that with a lot of... They're also focusing on, these are kind of relatively new actors that seem to be getting the main stage here. Based on the trailer alone, I can think of three categories that this is probably already nominated for in sound mixing, adapted screenplay, and or director. Probably going to get a Best Picture nom if everything goes as planned.
And the performances look pretty strong as well. Yeah, I mean, I'm nodding my head to cinematography for sure. James Laxton is the Moonlight cinematographer working with Barry Jenkins again here. I'm not going to be able to pronounce K's or X's this entire episode. The mama from the trailer is Regina King.
Yes.
You know, Stephen James, he played Jesse Owens in Race. He has a lot of Oscar showcase scenes in this trailer where he's yelling and screaming.
Yeah.
Where he's in the bath with his son. It's like where muted, he's in jail. Screaming
because the score or the sounds are going over. It's really, well, very cinematic. It kind of reminded me, again, and it worries me a little bit. We're seeing these trailers that have these beautiful cinematic shots, and there's tension-building metronome clicks from something that get increasingly louder and build up the anxiety, but very little plot or dialogue. But those types of movies so far have been like Serenity, A Simple Favor, Life Itself. I appreciate the artistic integrity. I am a little worried, though, because Serenity, A Simple Favor, Life Itself, those aren't Oscar contenders like this one seems to be poised to be.
Well, I like that this one kind of focuses on one scene, bookending the trailer. You have Kiki Layne at the table with her mother, Regina King. I guess Kiki Layne's name is Beale Street because she, if she could talk, she would, but she can't.
You see what did there?
Okay, anyway, but that's a good scene, well-acted scene. That's very subtle. I really like that. We know this is going to be a heavy drama, but it looks like it's delivering the artistic and aesthetic goods.
Can't wait.
As much of that, I mean, I'm in.
Yep, absolutely. Green Book is next, Mike.
So Green Book has like the best product placement in a while. There's multiple shots in the trailer alone of 1960s fast food rappers there.
KFC plays a big role in this, the Colonel.
It's funny. They create a lot of moments out of that. I am buying that Vigo Italian Goomba accent.
Totally Goomba.
I thought he's pulling it off. He's like this muscle flex driver who's probably driven old, you know, Italian guys around before.
Yes.
If this trailer is any indication.
It's another race relation picture, and the focus is on that. It's kind of, I call it the reverse driving Captain Fantastic.
Right, driving Miss Daisy on, you know, with gravy.
You're right, exactly. So that's kind of, we have Mahershala Ali is this very eloquent and pronounced pianist, and he's kind of going around all these heady parties, playing for all these well-to-do people, mostly, at least in the shots that we saw, mostly white people in three-piece suits and tuxedos and stuff of that ilk, and he's playing for them, and everyone's amazed. But it's also a period piece from like the 50s, 60s era, so obviously the civil rights movement is pretty well pronounced there. There's a lot of stubborn white people. You can't be here with those kinds.
Some emotional scenes from Mahershala Ali. And I think it's pronounced pianist. You got to make crass people like you and I double take.
It's pianist as far as I'm concerned.
You got to make them double take and think they're saying penis. This looks like a fun buddy road trip movie for much of the trailer. I really like a lot of that stuff.
Loved it. Absolutely
this
loved it.
This film is directed by Dumb and Dumber's Something About Mary's Peter Farrelly,
this is
which
a theme,
blew my mind.
This is a theme I've talked about and I will continue to talk about. If you can show me that you are immensely talented in one area, deviate from the path, man. Go off into a different lane. Show me something else. I'd love it. I'm all for it. I think if you're talented, you are talented. And if you are throwing out Dumb and Dumbers and Something About Mary's, you have earned the shot to prove you could do drama too. Of course, I'm stoked.
Linda Cardellini from Freaks and Geeks and Brokeback Mountains in it
as
well. Both screenwriters, if you look at their IMDb's, they were character actors or asters for years, and I'm really like thrilled for them. Like they're like an underdog story here where they're just bouncing around the business,
we've talked an awful lot screenplays in the build up too about the actress category, supporting actress categories. Those are kind of the two again, like last year. Actor hasn't really been fleshed out much by us, at least not yet. We haven't really dove deep into it.
So who's the lead in this one?
Yeah.
We don't quite know yet. Maybe in a weak year, they both go up for lead actors, and we get one of those scenarios, All About Eve.
Then again, Viggo Mortensen and Mahershala Ali could go cross-country on a tandem bicycle selling old shoes, and I still stop and at least hear them out of what they had to say. So
absolutely.
I love them. They're immensely talented guys.
So Roma, the next one there, Mike, coming to Netflix?
Yeah, so we saw the teaser for this first, right? And we had no idea what was going on.
I gave you the wrong link, yes.
It's just water going to and fro on this floor, and you see an airplane flying, and I'm like, am I a janitor at a terminal?
I was ready to just trash this movie, because I'm like, you got to try harder to sell this than just show black and white, you know, cinematography and water on a tile floor. You got to do more.
I was just confused, because I was like, that floor looks relatively clean already. You're using way too much water and soap.
I know he directed Children of Men. I know this is going to TIFF and all those fancy schmancy film festivals, but you got to give me more than water on a floor. Yes. Of course, there's a bigger trailer.
Yes, that was the teaser. We did find the original trailer. The lesson, as always, is we're dumb. Yes. Alfonso Cuarón's latest is Roma, and we find out that the water going back and forth in the teaser is for a cleaning lady who apparently plays a central role in this movie. She's kind of the linchpin that keeps this pretty much autobiographical, from what I can tell, picture together. Cuarón is kind of delving into his own life and his own upbringing in Mexico in the 70s, and this seems to be basically a retelling from his point of view.
Mexico City family, very touching hug early on in this trailer, one of the more touching hugs in any trailer I've seen in a while. Gave me a little goosebumps there.
As opposed to those non-touching hugs.
Right.
Slap air.
Yeah, the ones, the less touching hugs will ruin trailers, but this hug tugged on my heartstrings a little bit. It's going to Venice, Toronto, New York.
Hug and tug.
Yeah, New York Film Festival. Netflix is going to drop it in October, I think. Black and white cinematography seems pretty strong. Alfonso Cuarón, passion project. I'm game. I don't know if I'll watch it at midnight on Netflix when it drops necessarily, but I would be in if Netflix tries to drop something cool for a change unexpectedly. I just want to say that going into these next few trailers. Because the last time we got Cloverfield Paradox, how about we get one of these Oscar movies? Just drop one of those as a surprise and let film Twitter go nuts. Let all us dorks go nuts. We'll love that.
Well, there's an article on Decider.com that pretty much lays out the fact that this is probably Netflix's best chance yet to ever break their way into the Best Picture conversation. It is a Cuarón piece. He's obviously a very famous director, already has an Academy Award to his name. Is this another case? Is wireism taking over cinematic?
Did you watch The Wire last
night? No, I didn't, but I noticed that the focus of these trailers is very, very much not so much on the characters, at least to me, as it seems to be on their place in life.
I think TV's having an influence on films today. Yeah, absolutely. You're getting more ensemble pieces. I think everyone's trying to appeal to a massive audience, so you give them ways into all different kinds of folks, groups. Absolutely.
All right. So I am excited for Roma. We'll see what happens. Land of Steady Habits is another Netflix one that's next up on the docket.
Written and directed by Enough Said Helmer, Nicole Holofcener, starring Birdman's Natalie Gold, Rogue One's Ben Mendelsohn, Friday Night Lights' Connie Britton, and The Sopranos' Edie Falco.
I love seeing Edie Falco passionately talk to someone at close range. That just warms the cockles of my heart.
Yeah, she's great at it. I love seeing her in a big house the same way that she would.
Basically, we're
Tony.
Saying just be Mela Soprano the whole time.
I won't be against it, no, for sure. This trailer seems to suffer from unlikable protagonist syndrome, which is an illness that I am coining now, and Ben Mendelsohn has been the villain in so many movies, so it's not necessarily his fault, but it's hard to root for him as like this former finance guy trying to get his guilty, wealthy white man's life back together after a midlife crisis here, after a divorce, I guess.
Yeah, the big centerpiece of this is a voiceover where he's explaining how he thought he was so important, but he realized his life goes on without him anyway.
It's an over-the-top voiceover. Again, yeah, it's on the nose.
This isn't an Oscar. It's cute, but it's not an Oscar.
It's coming to Netflix, so that'll be fun. I'm glad we're getting higher-browed movies coming to Netflix.
Another father-son relationship picture as well.
But the formulas and conventions are pretty on the nose and in your face. It's midlife crisis. The man doesn't get along with his son, goes on an awkward date, does something silly, probably illegal. But I don't know. I like Nicole Holofcener from Enough Said. I really want Netflix original movies to be better. Had kind of an up and down year a little bit.
Yeah, I don't think this is the one that's going to help you, though. Okay. I don't mean to be judgy like that. I just don't think on the level of kind of the movies we're talking about today.
But great cast, great filmmaker, so you never know. Mm-hmm. Oscars
we'll
might be in its future if the trailer is worse than the actual film.
Gonna need a lot of momentum.
The next one I'm pretty hyped about, though, Mike.
Yeah, I don't share your...
What?
I don't share your enthusiasm, I know. I
what
went
makes
kind of,
spears?
As I was going through this document...
Hundreds of them.
I was like, I think I'm being too negative. But yeah, the next one is Outlaw King, which is basically Captain Kirk playing William Wallace on Netflix.
He's not playing William Wallace. He's playing Robert the Bruce.
Right, but he's playing William Wallace.
No, Robert the Bruce was the snivelly guy who kind of screwed him over. Mm-hmm.
I hear you. But also it's William Wallace.
They followed William Wallace's battle blueprints. You get a lot of huge battle set pieces in this trailer alone. You get low angle shots of, you know, catapults with fireballs being shot into castles.
Look, I like the cast. I like the director. I love the director's IMDb picture because he's wearing a giant cowboy hat.
Hell
and Scottish.
Or high bedwetter. Hell or high water. David McKenzie is the director on this baby.
And I was incredibly impressed with Chris Pine's Scottish accent. But this is Braveheart the Netflix years.
I'm fine with that. What's wrong with that, dude? You just don't like things because they're like other things and they're not meta jokes.
I'll say this.
If there was a meta joke, if there was like, well, he really shouted out, you know, crazy talk when he was getting killed.
Yes, hilarious.
You'd love it.
No, listen, I think this is very shrewd marketing on Netflix's part because there is a gap in the zeitgeist. And Bill Simmons' podcast just started talking about it. People are kind of getting the itch for Game of Thrones type stuff to fill that Game of Thrones whole void that they all have in their lives. And this is guys in big helmets and giant furs fighting each other with swords.
Yeah, I mean, 14th century epic coming to Netflix, Mike.
So I think this could scratch the itch that a lot of people have in their lives for the Game of Thrones.
I've been itching for a movie like this in a long while.
I do see the promise in this positioning.
I'm curious in terms of the history of it all because, yes, I know the Braveheart story. Yes, I really liked Western Civ. What, did you fall asleep during your Western Civ class? Did you had a boring teacher there, Mike? No, I'm a fan
probably.
Of Chris Pine, Aaron Taylor Johnson from Kick-Ass and Nocturnal Animals.
It's a great cast.
You know, Florence Pugh from Lady Macbeth. We got Stannis Baratheon himself from Game of Thrones. Stephen Delane is Edward the First. And David McKenzie, Hell or High Water, and starred up director. Let's go, baby!
Yeah, but I don't know. It looked like it's promising an awful lot for a Netflix movie. We'll see. I could be wrong. I'd love
to
be wrong.
It's promising it with shots of glorious battle. And
but
great
is
brogues.
It a worry that they gave it away? You don't have that worry that they gave away?
Well,
they
got to sell it, baby.
All right.
I'm in.
I'm not. Widows, the second full trailer for Widows came out. It's, again, the Viola Davis piece. Steve McQueen's at the helm. Mm-hmm. It's about a group of women who were all married to these men that pretty much ran a crime syndicate, I guess. Mm. The men were done away with. They left their widows holding a $2 million debt to what essentially looks like a mob boss.
Daniel Kaluuya, yeah.
And Daniel Kaluuya is one of the tough guys for the mob
boss.
Brian
Tyree Henry from Atlanta there.
And they have to figure out a way to pay back that debt, and they end up going to a life of crime. I'm going to need the Academy to take this movie seriously. I've already heard some rumbles from some people that the genre that this is, that this action crime thriller is going to be too actiony, too gunshotty, too much to be taken seriously for what it can be. I can already, it's too much of an action movie. It's too violent. Whatever pseudo transparently bogus complaint they can nitpick about this to avoid having an awesome crowd pleasing film be nominated in various categories, especially above the Mary Queen of Scots and the favorites, the period pieces.
I do think you are correct in that regard. I think Hollywood snubs their nose once in a while.
Exactly, snobbery.
At this genre in general. Mike, have you ever heard the saying that two wrongs don't make a right?
No.
Supposed to say yes, it's a setup. God
oh,
damn
sorry,
it.
Yes.
Yes, of course you have. Well, it makes for terrible storytelling and terrible movies, so I'm in for this. You have the lesser of two evils here, and that kind of dilemma written into any script is awesome. Do they just get killed by these mobsters,
yeah,
or do they actually take matters into their own hands and become criminals in their own right? You have a Viola Davis Oscar real scene added to this trailer where she's yelling and screaming. At least we get get a glimpse of that.
She's going all out. She's awesome. Spectacular.
I love the early voiceover from Brian Tyree Henry. We've called him Atlanta's Brian Tyree Henry for a while. Maybe we'll call him Widow's Brian Tyree Henry after this.
Yeah, powerful.
I love the presence that Daniel Kaluuya has. It's a towering presence throughout these trailers.
It just gives me goosebumps, man. I get so giddy seeing him be the quiet, tough guy.
I worry that non-criminals are all of a sudden becoming super capable criminals, so they're going to have to explain that for me. They have all real jobs, they're teachers and whatever.
See, you're already nitpicking.
I'm already nitpicking a little bit. I'm a little afraid, but great cast, great director, Oscar bait, great performance. I'm expecting from Viola Davis and performance from Daniel Kaluuya there. I can't wait.
I think it's going to be a pretty fascinating case study because you do have already, in terms of the actress categories, the favorite, all the ones, Emma Stone and everyone from The Favorite, Mary Queen of Scots, the two big leads there, A Star is Born, Lady Gaga's getting a big Oscar push already. There's a lot of, those are already typical Oscar movies, quote-unquote, yeah. Typical Oscar movies. And most years, they're going to take categorical precedence over something like this. But this movie has this cast, with this lead actress, yeah, with this director behind it, with this supporting, there's a lot of things. If this movie can't be taken seriously by the Academy to go neck and neck with the period pieces, I don't know that any action crime thriller ever will. This seems like a perfect storm.
That's a good point. I do think, overall, there's going to be actresses bumped into the supporting category that we would consider like best lead actress in other years. And in fact, I think it happened last year in supporting actor with Sam Rockwell. I mean, you reanalyze that script. That's in many ways a two-hander. If you look at the second half of the movie, it's a lot about him. He's making a lot of climax decisions there. He's dealing with a lot of dilemmas himself.
Certainly happened 2 years ago with Viola Davis.
You know, Viola Davis could get bumped down. Emma Stone, Next Best Picture guys, they think she's going to get bumped down to supporting.
I stand by Lady Gaga, and I said this against the Next Best Picture guys in on Twitter. We had a little argument. I was talking back and forth with some people. A Star is Born worries me, because unless that movie is network level or Silence of the Lambs level accepted and lauded and gushed about, you're going to tell me that people aren't going to split the vote between Bradley Cooper as a lead actor and Lady Gaga as a lead actress, and the studio is going to be okay with that?
I don't know. I do think Gaga's acting in the trailer isn't great. Like, he's like, I just want to take another look at you. And then she gives that little chewing gum commercial smile. Yeah. Oh, shucks. I don't know. I gotta see Gaga's performance to believe it. Obviously, she's going to sing and blow us all away, just like she's been doing in the trailers.
Right. So, original song. But to me, there's only been 7 pictures, I think the number is 7, that have ever shared the two leads, that have won the two leads. So I can't see that movie, A Star is Born remake, being in the running for taking the two leads. I think the studio is going to position one or the other down.
Yeah, I'd be surprised too. It's just so competitive nowadays. So we'll believe it when we see it. The next trailer we have is the second coming attraction for Suspiria. This is Luca Guadagnino's remake of the Dario Argento film. We got a lot of bright red blood in that old horror movie there, like a Sam Peckinpah style bright red blood. And that's what I remember from Suspiria. I don't necessarily remember this whole plot line. I got to go back and watch that. We're going to have to do an episode on that leading into this. We get a lot more in this trailer.
I know what you're asking yourself. Did I buy the Blu-ray Steelbook Suspiria that sold on Amazon for $100?
What?
I didn't. I did buy the $30 Blu-ray for the Dario Argento version because it's been so long since I have seen any of Suspiria, and I don't think I've ever actually sat down and watched the whole thing, because when I watched it, I think I was like 12 or 13, so I clearly, all I saw was colors flashing by me. As far as this remake, I like how it's Thom Yorke, Tilda Swinton, Luca Guadagnino, Dakota Johnson. Pretty much the studio went to every actor, creator, collaborator who was like the most expressive and just the slightest bit of peculiarness to their look or performance or delivery. And they basically put them all in a blender, dumped a couple cans of tie-dye paint in there, and stirred it all up to see what happens. I can't wait.
I'm intrigued by the color schemes again. You know, it's almost like a David Fincher serial murderer kind of look to it.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't really remind me of Dario Argento at all.
It's rustic.
I mean, here's the scuttlebutt right now. The scuttlebutt is that, and I don't remember the plot at all. The scuttlebutt is that Tilda Swinton is playing Dr. Joseph Klemperer, played by Lutz Ebersdorf. You know, we made fun of his kind of old man mm-hmm. makeup. We kind of thought it was a guy wearing something,
mm-hmm.
you know, a younger man. And Lutz Ebersdorf is only credited with one movie on IMDb, and yet he has a full kind of bio posted up, and those ears look kind of fake. And I'm going to have egg on my face when it turns out to be a real guy.
This is, I did follow this. You pitched this again. This is quite the conspiracy theory that you're twiddling out here. Alex Jones.
Listen, Tilda Swinton, Meryl Streep, they can all be playing a lot of old men in Hollywood these days. We wouldn't know. Robert Redford could be a plant. We don't know. Yeah, it could be Meryl Streep the whole time. That's just been her side project for years, like a man on the moon there.
If anyone could pull it off, you're right.
But we're in for this movie, no question.
Totally. I can't imagine it actually gets Oscar, maybe for the lower category. Cinematography, maybe. Maybe some set design. We could see it on the quote-unquote undercards there.
I do wonder if the allure of it being a remake of a cult classic, I wonder if that helps it a little bit.
It's so funny how remakes are...
It's a prestigious horror movie.
And it's the esteem that remakes are held in now. It's not like they used to be just negatively stigmatized.
Right.
So heavily negatively. Right. And now, because we've had a couple in a row that are certainly more than passable, mm-hmm. people actually look forward to them and are excited about them. It's funny to see that evolution in the zeitgeist being taken shape. Miseducation of Cameron Post is next. This one we've talked about a couple times already.
We haven't reviewed
podcast.
The trailer yet. I wanted to hit it today.
Yeah, this is Chloe Grace Moretz. It's another, oddly, how there's a couple in this year coming out at the same time. There's Pray the Gay Away,
yep.
Gay Reform Camp. Chloe Grace Moretz plays Cameron Post. She's the one that is kind of standing up for herself. It's interesting to see the dichotomy between this one and something like The Land of Steady Habits, where Land of Steady Habits is a guy finding out that he's not all that special as he thought he was. And this one's kind of a girl realizing that she is the only one that is in the right and knows what's going on around her and sees it for what it is.
I was fascinated by the tone of this trailer. Like, I think Lucas Hedges, that's more of a straight up Oscar drama tone, the way
Boy
they're
Erased,
delivering
you
it.
Mean?
Boy Erased.
Yeah.
And this one, we have, you know, Chloe Grace Moretz kind of laughing off a lot of the preaching, you know, when she's getting preached at there. They're having a lot of fun, the group of friends that she makes in this trailer. Now, of course, it could be seriously heavy. We don't know
right.
yet. We're going to see it. It's out now in limited release, and I did want to touch on it if it gets nominated for a bunch of things down the line. I don't think the buzz is strong enough, but Chloe Grace Moretz has gotten a lot of praise, not necessarily Oscar buzz, but a lot of praise for a very strong performance here because of its subject matter and how important the movie is.
Sure.
You never know.
Yeah, I'm a huge fan of Chloe Grace Moretz. The movie's got a 69 Metacritic score, 6.8 IMDb, so you're probably right and probably not in the Oscars conversation. She, to me, is just someone that's biding her time before she's taken seriously every year as a Best Actress candidate. Mm-hmm. Ever since she was in the American remake of Let the Right One In, which
sure.
I think was called Let Me In, it was her performance has been evolving, and really, to me at least, she's shown something different and unique every time. But we're
such
already talking
movies.
About a year in which Viola Davis may be muscled out of the Best Actress category as is, so I can't imagine this is... I think she will break through. I don't think it'll
award
be for this performance.
Award circuit lists 40 Best Actress contenders, so yeah.
Yeah.
It's going to be tough.
Burning is next, Michael.
The Walking Dead, Steven Yeun, has been making a strong transition to movies since leaving The Walking Dead with Turns and Mayhem and Sorry to Bother You. I'm very interested in this trailer. I've always gravitated towards South Korean films these last 10 years or so. This is from director Chang Dong-Lee. I saw the movie Secret Sunshine at one of the festivals a while back, and it was pretty strong.
I had a dog named Sunshine, so I agree. It's fun.
That movie was like about horrible angst. I remember it being a super serious movie. So, but anyway, awkward joke.
Yeah, nowhere to go from there. I've just been
you
ruining. I've been ruining your. Yeah, but because here's why I have very little to add. I saw this preview, and it is so incredibly similar to this recurring night terror I have. Though, I don't really want to delve into what that could possibly mean for me and my psyche.
You're wondering who Stephen Young really is in your nightmares?
It's got to do with someone I know, but I'm talking in front of a house burning. I don't want to deal with it. Let's just move on.
Please. I laugh at your psychological breaks.
Yes. It really freaked me out.
I'm buying into the mystery shown here in the trailer.
It does certainly.
We're all wondering who the hell Stephen Young is. He's this boyfriend of this guy's younger sister, I'm guessing, cousin, whatever the family dynamic there is, we don't know.
High marks, too. High grades.
From Cannes, 95%, 8.5 out of 10 right now, cinema score. Maybe it's a best foreign film entry at the end of the day. Award Circuit has it at number 10 right now, but they also have the god-awful Psychokinesis from Train of Busan director at number 8, which makes zero sense to me. I thought that movie was a train wreck when we reviewed it on one of our Netflix quarterly pods. I can't get over that they have that high up with all these great foreign films coming out this year and all these great foreign films that we reviewed.
And so we have a lot more in this episode coming
up. Good Lord. So, yeah, Mike, next one is not a foreign film, but Nancy from Sundance there.
So stop agreeing to be in movies with Anne Dowd. If you're a movie character...
You sure that's not Margot Martindale?
I'm not sure. But if you're a movie character and you see Anne Dowd on the cast list, you know you're going to be in trouble.
She's in trouble in this one.
Andrea Riseborough plays this woman who thinks she might be the kidnapped child, or a woman who was kidnapped as a child to a different family, and gets in contact with that family.
And it's amazing how they get this story across in like 10-second scenes.
It really is.
In the trailer, because it's basically Andrea Riseborough watching a news, what do they call news broadcast?
Story.
News story. And anyway, they're showing a photo of a missing girl, and then they show...
Projected image of what she would look like.
We're using all our technology. This is her 30 years later, whatever it is, and it looks exactly like Andrea Riseborough.
Now, to me, Andrea Riseborough, again, I didn't recognize. She's a chameleon to me.
Right.
She keeps changing her look for all these different pictures. We had Battle of the Sexes, the Mandy preview that we did a data episode about. This one, she looks different to me every single time, which is a credit to her. Not afraid to kind of ugly it up and go for various
She's
looks.
She's got eyebrows in this one. Yeah, eyebrows in this one. Doesn't look like her Mandy character. J. Smith Cameron from Succession. She's the lead counsel for the company there in that great HBO show, and she's awesome in it.
Buscemi has a role in this.
Buscemi, I don't know if he's the husband or if he's a private detective or what, but he's usually great. Anne Dowd, of course, is the mother of Andrea Riseborough, or is she?
Yeah, I don't know what this plot is, but Anne Dowd did it.
I wish the numbers were a little bit higher. 82%, 6.8 out of 10.
Scores for an Oscar contender, 6.5 IMDb, 69 Metacritic.
She's on the fringe right now of Oscar buzz. Riseborough is writer-director Christina Chloe. Chloe comes from TV, essentially, so she's really a bit of an unknown as far as work concerned. Yeah, I mean, Best Actress is loaded, so probably not, but it might be a movie that's kind of in our wheelhouse as
a
mystery.
Yeah, I don't see it as an Oscar contender, but as a thriller, I'm in.
It hooked me to this trailer.
Great story. Sunset is next.
So the Sunset trailer here scared the crap out of me. From Oscar-winning director of Son of Saul, it'll premiere at TIFF.
Did you see Son of Saul?
No.
No, I didn't either. I was just wondering if you had
seen
it.
We didn't have an Oscar podcast back then. I really want to see it. It's on the top of my list. Thanks for shaming me at the beginning of my segment here.
You're welcome.
I'm guessing the buzz will really pick up for this movie. Award Circuit has this as the leader for best foreign language film as we speak.
There you go.
This is an intense trailer. A woman seems to be thrown out onto the streets when her store, family store, closes, her family shop or whatever.
She's in search of it because it's in her lineage, something
like
that.
She has a long-lost brother, and men seemingly assault her, I guess, when she's looking for
absolutely terrifying.
Her brother. And it's some scary stuff. Great score, you said?
Yeah, great score. Great use of some flashing visuals to drive up the anxiety. Never been more interested in what's going on with a hat store. Never had a gun shoved in my face for inquiring about the local lids. So this is all a new experience to me. Laszlo Nemes it's not like he doesn't know how to create an experience through one of his films. He already did that. He proved to be up to Academy standards. So it seems to be a worthy follow-up to Son of Saul, which again, I too have not seen. So I'm interested in this one. I think foreign film this year is kind of taking shape as a pretty big one. Certainly, I feel like there's more momentum and more choices for this year than there were last year.
Well, in our episode, we have three former winners of the category, directors of winning films in that category, just in our lineup today. This guy next did not win one, but he's made some crazy movies, Mike.
Right, so this is Climax. We already did Gaspar this. Noé. We talked about this once, Gaspar Noé's latest. I had seen this preview before. When we talked about this preview,
I refused
to watch
it.
You had yet to see this preview. I'd forgotten about this trailer. We covered it in a previous episode. I'd seen it, and the name didn't ring a bell immediately coming to it in this episode. But then I hit play on the trailer, and that music, that techno beat started playing with that filled with the Flight of the Butterfly-esque electric keyboard strokes over the top of it. And I had some fucking, like, Vietnam-level flashbacks to the mysterious, the terror and the fear and anxiety inducement that I had watching this for the first time. Can I interest you in Un Sangria?
No. Never. I may never just drink sangria again because of this trailer. Listen, Mike, you have been warmed. Gaspar Noé makes these visceral nightmares in all his films. I mean, they're visually stunning, but I'm terrified to see this because he's burned me like four times in movies.
Looks right in my alley.
Yeah, be careful what you wish for. That's all I'm saying. It is not on Award Circuit's list for best foreign films thus far, but just a crazy trailer that we had to sink our teeth into at least once.
Can't imagine why I have night terrors.
Yeah, right. Maybe that's part of it here. Oh, my God.
One question I wanted to ask you. Are we kind of, since we have already talked about some disturbing movies coming up, and we're going to get into more as they come out. We talked about, even in our September preview, The Nun is coming out. We have Searching just kind of making its debut, which is a mysterious thriller. Are we overloading October? Are the studios saving too much of their crazy, creepy stuff for October to get into the Halloween aesthetic? Should they spread it out more? Is there any benefit to that? Or are we just kind of used to this cycle of, we have 1 month out of every 12 where we're going to get all the horror and thriller that we can handle, and that's it?
Well, there's horror for different tastes, I guess. You know, this is the, I guess if you're on drugs, this is a great horror movie when you go to art house cinemas and you're on drugs. So this is the one you should see.
So be on drugs is the message from Also Mike.
Oh my God. Actually, this is probably the worst movie to see on drugs because it's going apparently it's a metaphor for hell. I saw that on film Twitter. Is it a joke or is this like supposed to be a metaphor for
hell? Oh, I could see it. Absolutely. I mean, that trailer, especially speaking specifically about Climax, that trailer gets more and more intense.
All I know is it's a dance party, and then everybody's like crying and screaming, and then all of a sudden
there's a guy on fire in the bathroom. Yeah, it's great. But again, I mean, okay, if this was a, let's say, March release, would it have the same amount of juice? Does it matter that it's Gaspar Noé, or does it matter that it's a scary movie and it's coming out in October-ish?
I think because it's Gaspar Noé and he only makes scary movies, even though they're artistically very strong, then it comes out in October, you know, maybe you'll find a niche audience. So yeah, I think they're trying to, like, a movie like this, I can tell should come out in October. I would agree with that release date.
Yeah, so you're on board.
A lot of these other movies maybe not. I don't know.
Fair point. Cold War is next.
Another former best foreign language film director here, Paweł Pawlikowski.
Hold it down for the Polacks.
He won for Ida. I remember seeing that movie. It was slow but very powerful. This movie has been hailed by critics to be a smoky, cool love story. One of the critical quotes from the trailer there. We get lots of music. It's about a lounge singer. I don't know, the 40s, 50s. Well, probably not the 40s if it's Europe.
Most likely during
we would have seen the war. Yeah. Probably 70s, 60s.
If I had to guess. Well, they do.
I don't know history.
There is a static shot where they're pulling up this giant picture of Stalin, I think it was, so it would suggest that it's in that 60s.
Yeah, that would be a clue. Good job. Context clues.
You're welcome.
I did not pay attention well enough. 100% 8.8 out of 10 critics score. No surprise coming from this filmmaker. I think it will be on Award Circuit's list after they see it. IndieWire seems to like its chances for best foreign film. I don't know. I think the critical praise is there. I just, I'm wondering why it's not on lists right now.
This trailer was so plain and so beautiful in its minimalistness, if that's a word.
Mm-hmm.
I think, don't ever be so arrogant as to assume you can't learn things from other cultures, because if this was an American preview for this movie, you would have gotten artistically done shot panning up of the female singer's torso while her silhouette was backlit.
Right.
You would have had these action scenes interspersed with close-ups of her lips and her eyes. But because this is a foreign film, it's just very, it's very pulled back and very plain. You let the story develop. I think it's a mistake to ever think that American cinema is the cinema that does it best. There's a lot of things that can be learned from other countries.
Yeah, I don't want to totally trash all America. I mean, if Michael Bay was shooting it. No, you're right. Michael Bay. We've developed a reputation with the Michael Bays of the world and the pans, the slow pans are in there,
right,
for sure. 80s movies. I agree. But this is, yeah, sleek, crisp, black and white cinematography. And I think.
Or if you're Viggo Mortensen's character from Green Book. Could be cinematographer.
the cinematographer is good.
Shoplifters is another foreign film. This one is, want to talk about high concept. And again, we're in that area where we're sharing plot lines, basically, almost, in the way that the Andrea Riseborough picture is her thinking she was separated from her family at a young age. We have a family of shoplifters, which is how they make their living, by stealing goods. They end up accidentally, almost, it seems like, kidnapping a child from a local convenience store, and it turns out making countrywide news.
Yeah, they kind of think she's a stray little girl. She's covered in bruises, which freaks them out. Mm-hmm. This won the Palme d'Or at Cannes over Black Klansman, for that matter. Awards circuit doesn't have it listed yet either, which is strange to me, but I've heard a lot of buzz about this movie. The trailer's looks really solid. I mean, it gives you an insight it tells you what the story is, or at least what the hook of Act One is there.
We're going awfully heavy into anti-hero stuff, though, aren't we? I mean, are we glorifying the anti-hero a little too much anymore, or has that become overly reliant?
You know, it's a rounded character. I'm in for that when it's done well, and it's done. It gives you both sides of a character. So if you show the good and the bad, that's good storytelling right there. So if you can pull that off, do it. Do it as much as you can in story. Stories, never mind films.
Lizzie is next. We've talked about this one a little bit too. This is Kristen Stewart and Chloe Sevigny, the retelling of the Lizzie Borden tragedy.
This trailer is bloody and alarming. It's in our September preview episode. It's coming out next month. It starts with a scream.
Yeah.
Just a scream, a blood-curdling scream.
Yeah.
We finish with a blood-spattered face of Chloe Sevigny there.
It's basically how I wake up every morning.
In your mind, watch this trailer, folks. I mean, if you like this genre. Again, I don't like glorifying serial murderers, but I might have been a little too harsh on this movie in our September preview, because I do think, you know, when you make a monster with Charlize Theron and Christina Ricci, or Alias Grace even, you can do a good job with this genre. I just worry that sometimes if you give them too much heart, it's unrealistic to these, you know, sociopaths.
Well, that goes back to what I brought up, this sympathetic anti-hero. People are kind of leaning. We're getting to a point where I feel like the Javier Bardem's characters in No Country for Old Men, those Anton Chigurhs, are becoming harder and harder to be written about, or becoming at least not written for as much, because everyone wants to have the Walter White anti-hero as the protagonist,
right,
and kind of lean into that story.
I just worry about the appeal of someone like Kristen Stewart. She is everybody's darling actress. She's everybody's Cinderella right now. We all love her, and we think she should be in the Oscar conversation at some point soon. She's been turning in great indie film performances, Personal Shopper, etc. I don't see Chloe Sevigny on the best actress list yet.
No, the scores for this one are kind of down too.
Yeah, Kristen Stewart showed up on Best Supporting on award circuit, so I guess we'll be the judge. You know, we're going to see this movie.
Definitely, without question. Mid-90s is next. It's the writing and directing debut from Jonah Hill.
Jonah Hill, Trent Reznor is going to score the film. Lucas Hedges, he must have not had a day off in
2017. He just had to have been on set every freaking day.
He's playing like the spectrum of age right now, because he's a older brother who's a bully of this young kid protagonist. And he's played all kinds of different high school age kids, from Lady Bird. He's the theater kid, Three Billboards. He's the slam the door on his mom,
right,
kind of angry teenager, Manchester by the Sea.
Mm-hmm.
He's kind of the cool kid in class. So, Boy Erased, obviously, is a whole different turn for him.
It's he's casually on his way to being in every low-budget, critically acclaimed indie movie, so that's nice for him.
An absurd talent. I'm also buying the young actor playing the young skateboarder there, 12-year-old, 11-year-old, whatever he is, protagonist Stevie Sonny Soljic.
I didn't get much from him in this trip. Not that it's a bad thing. I just, he was acting like a little kid to me. Again, this was similar to Roma.
Well, this is kind of his job here.
Well, you're not wrong, but again, it's not a showcase in the way that the Widow's second trailer was a showcase for Viola Davis. This was, again, to me, it reminded me of the Roma trailer in that it's not about, you don't want to know about the people yet. Beale Street is the same way. You don't want to know about the people yet, but look at the surroundings, look at the city, look at the placement they're in. These are the times they have to deal with. This is kind of what shapes them and forges them into who they are.
It's funny, it's sad, you know, it's powerful all in one trailer, so I give Jonah Hill some props there. Call me curious. I don't know if this is going to play into the Oscar conversation down the line, but I do think it could be a very strong film, and you know, we want to see this from some of our favorite people in the industry. We want to see them make good movies.
Goes back to what I said about the Farrelly brother. Jonah Hill has proven his chops. He is supremely talented. He's a great comedic actor.
Two-time Oscar nominee.
He was able to flex his wings into dramas. Yeah. He gets those two Oscar nominees. Why wouldn't you give him a chance to make a film on his own?
Jonah Hill from Grandma's Boy.
Oh, unbelievable. All super the way bad.
To,
yeah.
Yeah, all the way to what he's doing now. That's
unbelievable.
Something else.
Good for him. I'm excited for it. I really am. I love seeing talented people get a chance to kind of deviate from their lane. I think the stay in your lane argument is the dumbest argument in any context.
I'm with you.
Everybody knows, Michael.
From two-time Oscar Best Foreign Film winning filmmaker Oscar Farhadi from The Salesman and A Separation, starring Oscar winners Penelope Cruz and Javier Bardem. Also one of my favorite Spanish actors, Ricardo Darín from The Secret in Their Eyes and Truman.
What a loaded cast.
Oh, I'm a little disturbed by the mixed reviews for this one. It currently stands at 50% on Rotten Tomatoes after either opening or closing can. It's number 11 on Award Circus list for best foreign language film contenders, though. So there's kind of a mixed message in terms of what critics seem to think of this one. But another mystery here, Mike. I'm fascinated by this trailer because there's a wedding. Everybody's happy. There's a little history between Bardem and Penelope Cruz. And there's a mystery there, of course, but it's kind of overlooked early on in the trailer.
They're hiding the conflict moment.
Then something happens. We don't know what. Everybody's crying the morning after the wedding. Does the groom go missing? Does somebody get killed? Does the groom get killed? I'm more intrigued at this trailer than most others. I got to see this one, Mike.
It certainly is intriguing enough and drives up your attention. It's worthy of it. And again, the talent on screen, Bardem and Penelope Cruz in the same movie, speaking their native languages. My God, how could you not want to see that? I don't understand the scores either. And I can't imagine it's a problem with the acting because those two have proven themselves time after time.
It's just Oscar-winning people making this movie.
I don't get it. So maybe I'm interested.
Well, maybe their expectations are too high at Cannes, and all the critics were just thinking the world of this movie, and then it was solid or was really strong, and then they're down on it.
Sure, I don't know. We'll have to see for ourselves. But yeah, definitely an intriguing plot line. The Happy Prince is next, and it's kind of the Rupert Everett playing Oscar Wilde in a biopic where Rupert Everett wants to do everything with this movie. You can tell it's a passion project. Yep. Yeah, he wrote it, directed it, stars in it. It's a lot for him, and I think it kind of shows that he might have spread himself a little thin because I was not overly impressed with this trailer.
It is a great cast. Colin Firth, Tom Wilkinson, Emily Watson. It does have solid numbers, 74.4%, 6.4, solid. But bad wigs, number one.
Awful prosthetics.
Oh, yeah, awful voiceover. You know, bad hair dye. Like, it's just so obviously hair dyed. The guy's too old to have that. It's got to be some gray just for men, right? You know, you got to.
The prosthetics for this for me, too, but you're right with the wigs. I hope there's enough time that some of this stuff can get cleaned up because it's just. I mean, you could see it. It's plain as day in the preview.
Maybe it'll make sense when we watch the film at some point, but doesn't he seem like he's overacting, like bad, early on in the trailer, at least?
Yeah, it certainly does. He kind of pulls it together later. I understand the stories you hear about Oscar Wilde. They're kind of, he was an eccentric guy. And this is kind of shining a light on his personal life and his love life, which is a complicated story, but...
We call him like we see him. I mean, we would like this movie to be good, but it had gotten buzz a while back. We probably should have thrown it in an earlier episode, but here we are trying to touch on it, and no, I don't see it either.
All right. Belcanto.
Starring Julianne Moore and Ken Watanabe. No reviews yet. A September release that we touched on in our last episode. From Oscar-nominated screenwriter Paul Weitz, based on a best-selling novel. Julianne Moore is screaming. She's crying. She's singing. She's gasping. All in one trailer.
I would love to find out if she's actually singing, because that voice is beautiful.
There's no way.
There is no way, right? I don't think so either.
No, I mean, she's sung in other movies, right? She has to have. But this is like a professional opera voice. No way it could be her. I'm sure she'll pull it off. she's that good of an actress, but I'm not a fan of the dialogue in this trailer. There's a hostage situation when a big-named opera singer sings at this
mansion.
There's
a hostage situation, and then they want us to feel sympathy for the guys putting the guns in everyone's faces in one scene. Again, I mean, how far are we going to go with this anti-hero stuff?
I like rounded character when it's done well with nuance, but you're right, in the trailer, this is over the top. You're getting really bad dialogue, on-the-nose dialogue.
Also, Mike, that's your name.
Mm-hmm.
You see the parallels in this trailer in Rocky IV, right?
What?
You don't see those parallels? Julianne Moore is Rocky. She basically solves the Cold War with her singing. That's basically what this trailer is. What? She ends this war. You didn't see this? Are you kidding me? She ends the war because she's a beautiful voice. She brings sides together.
You watch some weird stuff before the next day's recording session. I don't do you're, these references. Oh,
You're a Rocky guy.
Later on, I may just go, what? Mike just gave me, you know, the craziest revelation and epiphany.
She saves this country's plight in the same way that Rocky ended the Cold War with a left hook.
If I can change, you can change. Everybody can change.
Nice. Well done.
The Kindergarten Teacher stars Maggie Gyllenhaal. She is 19th on award circuit list for best actress as of now. That is, I guess, in striking distance in such a loaded category, I'd say. 92%, 7.7 out of 10 on Rotten Tomatoes. This is going to be a Netflix release.
Shocking.
Also starring Gael Garcia Bernal from The Motorcycle Diaries, Coco, Mozart in the Jungle. Again, I think this is Netflix upping their game here. So this trailer is fascinating. Maggie Gyllenhaal teaches kindergarten, seems to be a good teacher. She has a kid who makes up poems, and she discovers essentially that he's a child prodigy.
Yeah, she's convinced he's a genius.
As a kindergartner, right. He's writing these poems. She uncovers that fact and basically convinces the parents to let him exhibit his poetry out in New York City art, bougie, whatever, presentations. Legitimate.
Yeah, like
poetry competitions. Yeah,
high scale competitions.
So she gets somehow, I don't know if she gets fired or she's on leave, but she kidnaps this little poet kid, we think, and tries to nurture him like a child prodigy, like the surrogate son.
This won't have any impact on his adolescence at all, I'm sure.
The critical praise says it's written like a thriller in this trailer. So
it gets to that point at the end of the trailer.
I'm intrigued.
Yeah, I'm not now. I'm sorry for being so negative this episode. I feel like I have been, but I'm not now, nor have I ever really been a huge fan of Maggie Gyllenhaal's work. I think I'm only given so much love for any one particular family, and I spent all of mine I had to use on the Gyllenhaals on Jake, because, like, my God, did you see him in Southpaw? But homoerotic tendencies of mine aside, look at Maggie Gyllenhaal's face throughout this trailer, and yeah, it's so indicative of what an actual grade school teacher has to do.
Right.
She's even in the opening shot when she's having a conversation, you need to teach these kids how to, like, become people. Kindergarten teachers are responsible for putting them on the track to actually being molded into personhood. And she has to be expressive with her face when she's dealing with kids. But that also is related over to when she has to talk with different parents and different faculty. She's so shocked by things, but she has to hide it because she's a teacher. She can't show the kids anything's wrong, mm-hmm. but it's written all over her face. Her face is so expressive on these clips that this was chosen out. Bravo to whoever put this together, and bravo to her for this performance and what it looks like.
So you're buying it, yeah.
I was shocked to see this as a Netflix property, because this doesn't seem like a very Netflix-type thing. Certainly not a Netflix original. This is something maybe they would have bought after its theatrical run and played on. But I'm glad to see it. I'm happy to see it's a Netflix original. I'm glad to see them kind of spreading their wings a little bit, too. I'm very curious to see what this has in store on October 12th.
Yeah, this is a movie we're going to watch very quickly on Netflix there. All About Nina, Mike, is next.
I like Jake Gyllenhaal. Did I make that clear?
You said that. Yes, right, you mentioned it once or twice.
All About Nina is the Mary Elizabeth Winstead, another one we talked about certainly in a couple episodes. Mary Elizabeth Winstead is the stand-up comedian. This is bordering on typical rom-com territory.
Yeah.
I just can't seem to get my act together. I'm not worthy of happiness. Stand-up comedian who goes from New York to L.A., is convinced she never wants a relationship, meets Common, the rapper Common, who kind of turns into her voice of consciousness and calm.
Right. I guess they have a romance here. Yeah. I like movies about stand-up comedians even when they're bad. But
I love Mary Elizabeth Winstead.
Yeah. I didn't see any stand-up in here. It makes me feel like it's going to be a rom-com in a way. Maybe it'll be a quirky one. But she's getting some Oscar buzz. Common is getting some critical praise. She's 31 on the list right now. Mary Elizabeth Winstead is for awards circuit. But it's a long shot.
I mean, for all that said, I am in on this movie because I do love Common, do love Mary Elizabeth Winstead. I'm a sucker for stand-up comedian roomies, like you said. Mm-hmm. Not a rom-com guy. I think my history kind of spells that out. But I can't tell which character I want to date more. If it's the I'm so imperfect, I don't deserve happiness and can't get out of my own way, Nina. Or the what's wrong with you, look how much you have going for you, I'll be your conscious Rafe, who Common plays. So, but the chemistry between them looks great. So, I'm in.
I'm intrigued. It's going to have to keep the reviews and, you know, come to a theater near us.
I'm getting the sense from a lot of these movies that it's like, we as moviegoers and movie fans are interested in them. But you could tell there certainly seems to be starting to form a bright line delineation between what is an Oscar-type movie and what isn't for this year. And that mural that you like is almost getting the finishing touches painted on it.
Yeah, by the tones of our voices and by the frequency of our dad jokes, you can tell which movies we're really into and which ones we're kind of sidelining.
Or my affinity for various male actors, as I've had
absolutely,
in the last two
absolutely. Mm-hmm. So King Lear is the last movie we're looking at.
Tony Hopkins is sexy. No.
Friend of the pod. Coming out on Amazon Prime on September 28th this month, Anthony Hopkins is going nuts in this trailer. He plays King Lear. I don't know if I like this story better when it was Ran, Kurosawa's Ran, or not yet.
Are you just going to try to work a Kurosawa reference into every episode from now on?
Is that your ongoing play? Inside, you know, inside the pod jokes, you know, going on right
so
now?
I got to go back and listen to all the episodes. Mike and Oscar.
Great cast: Florence Pugh, Emma Thompson, Jim Broadbent, Outlanders, Tobias Menzies.
Awesome cast. Absolutely. I mean, Emma Thompson and Anthony Hopkins in the same movie. That blows my mind.
Yeah, going back, so much talent. Going all the way back to the late 80s, early 90s there.
I'm just waiting for the right moment to reveal that I wasn't an English major and don't have a ton of Shakespeare under my belt. I have some.
Right.
King Lear falls into the part that I don't have, so I don't have that much exposure to it outside of the re-imagings in the, like you said, Ran and Kurosawa and then that type of stuff. So
I don't remember the story that well. I think it's kind of like Succession in many ways.
It is. At least by the IMDb HBO profile. Show. Which is the real Shakespeare of the 21st century, if you get to
this. Is not on award circus list yet. I saw the trailer, saw Anthony Hopkins going ham, going off, so I wondered if it could make its way there. But this may be
mentally ill? Might be losing
it
a little?
Yeah, no, he's definitely losing it. It may be an Emmy contender for next year, I guess. But we'll have to wait and see. We'll watch it when it comes on Amazon Prime.
6.8 right now on IMDb. We'd only had a couple hundred reviews, so we'll see what happens. But we did it! Mike, that was the last movie on the list, and much to your credit, I thought we were going to go over and have to split this up into two episodes, but we don't have to. We finished it all in one episode, but that's another 20 or so plus movies that are coming out that we think are at least sniffing Academy Awards contendership.
Yeah, the mural's on the side of a building, and we're painting all these contenders in. It'll get down to a picture at some point. You can put a frame on it down the line, but right now we're trying to go river-wide for you. I'm mixing my metaphors like crazy. I'm trying to give you a full picture, and then as we go, you know, you'll focus in on some films that we can, you know, direct you towards.
So which one are you most excited to see? Is it in this list? Are you excited to see any of these movies coming out? Do you think that some of these categories, any of the acting ones, have already been decided? Have you seen anything that you're sure is going to end up as an Oscar winner? We want to know. We want to hear from you. Get at us at Mike and Oscar on Facebook, Mike and Oscar on Instagram, MM and Oscar on Twitter, Mike and Oscar at gmail.com, Mike and Oscar.com on the Reddit machine. We are everywhere you type in Mike and Oscar. If you can give us a shout out or leave a review on iTunes, even just click some stars, that would really help us out. And we would thank you for that.
Thank you.
The midst of our best week ever.
Yeah, it's wise to thank the audience. So my words of wisdom here is just thank you guys. We had our best week ever last week. We're going crazy on social media. We're trying to get our name out there. We're having fun just mixing it up with film Twitter. And you know,
absolutely.
Did that WWE episode. And the WWE faithful, your people.
Thank you. Thank you for proving me right. Thank you for proving. I've been after him for so long, saying that something wrestling related would work, and I thank Paul Heyman for his performance, yeah, for giving us that in.
Retweeted us, man. Yeah, and that helps.
That was probably the highlight of this so far for me, anyway.
it was fun, and we hopefully we got a lot of good wrestling fans who are also film fans, and just like a lot of film critics are also wrestling fans, which has been cool to see.
Yeah, and we're commemorating. We probably passed it already. We didn't really pay much attention to it, but this is kind of our 1 year mark. So if you joined us from the start, this is where we started last year, and you know that when we started, we kind of just dove headfirst right into the meat of Oscar season, which is where we are now. The Oscar sprint has certainly started. We have a couple profiles, yep, that are already done, many, many more to come in the coming weeks, but this is the place you want to go for any kind of award-centric takes and anything, any news related to the Oscars and any performances that might slip in, we kind of want to be on top of, and that's kind of why we started this in the first place. We want to make award season year-round. So definitely stick with us, and we're going to try to hopefully be your source for all things Oscar and award season related up until the big day in March of this year.
Absolutely. We're having a blast. Thank you, guys.
Reality sucks, guys. Keep watching movies with us. Get ready to keep going to that Oscar sprint. Keep your pace up, your knees high. Mike, you're a track coach. Give him a little coaching here.
Yeah, knees up, man. As simple as that. You had it. You had it right.
I don't run. We'll catch you guys next time. Thanks for listening.
See ya.